Morning, church. Morning. Are you excited to receive the word of God? Yes. Amen. So today I want to share with you what God has been speaking to me for the past few months, ever since I shared. And I ended my last sharing with hunger and thirst, right? And then in the right timing, I begin to ask, what is it that we have to hunger and thirst for? And when you ask people, What should we hunger and thirst for? People will say, oh, I want to be in the Word more. I want to pray more. Or, you know, I want to love more. That is all good. That is all good. But sometimes we forget, what are we actually seeking for? What is the goal, right? For example, all of you know Olympics has started, right? If I am a weightlifter, okay, my hunger and thirst shouldn't be eating as much as I want, correct? Because my thinking is, if I eat as much as I want, I will be strong to carry the weight. No, my hunger and thirst is to win the gold, correct? The gold medal to weightlift. So if that is my hunger and thirst, then wherever I eat, I have to watch what I eat, correct? I eat properly. So it means that when you hunger and thirst for, let's say, reading the word, then you don't read the word just for the sake of reading. Oh, I just have to get more. But with that purpose, that as I read, I want to know what God says. And when what God says, I believe, and then I do. Then that will count you as righteousness. Correct? All right? So do you see what I mean? I'm not saying that you shouldn't desire to pray more. You shouldn't desire to. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what you seek and thirst for will determine the different things that you are doing, well, that will give you the end goal. Amen? So like a runner as well. The runner, his goal, his hunger and thirst should be the gold medal in the Olympics, not to run as far as possible without any goal. Okay? Even when he exercises for a purpose. If he exercises for sprinting, he's exercising differently, he's eating differently. Correct? Right? Do you get what I mean? Yeah? So this is what God has been speaking to me as becoming a true son of the house. And then there's this prophetic word to say that there is a change coming. Right? Ludwig, I went through, because I wasn't in Ludwig's message, because we were doing Sunday school. But when I look at the PowerPoint and listen to his message, one of the things he said was, we must know the times. Right? As to work as one, we must know the time. And the time is like this. The season is, now we are in winter. After winter is? Spring. Okay? So, okay, just testing. Not hard science question, okay? All right. So, which means that in this time, before another season arrives, there is a season, right, that we are in now. And it feels like when the last days, or the end of the last day is coming, before that is the last of the last days. And the last of the last days, the Bible said that there needs to be arising right now, a righteous leaders, righteous men and women of God in this time of darkness. Yeah, so there is even more a call to seek for God's righteousness, so that we are all righteous true sons of God. Amen? All right? And then when you talk about sons, the analogy that I get from the Bible is, you know, the prodigal son. There is the prodigal son and what you call the brother at home. Right? Now, both of them had to change their mindset. All right? One of them went so far away that he needed to repent and come back. Right? But the other one, who was at home, was at home but didn't know what he was at home for. He didn't know of his inheritance. He also needed to change. Amen? All right? That's what God's been speaking. Even though we can say, like, I'm not that naughty, right? Quote, unquote. I'm okay, right? But at this time, when there is the word, there is a season of change, there is a call to change our life, to be more and more righteous, that is all for us. Not just for quote-unquote backsliders. That's not just for unbelievers. Also, us believers who are in the house. There are a lot of mindset that needs to be changed. Amen? All right. So, and then when we ask that question, what do we hunger and thirst for? The word hunger and thirst for is found in Matthew 5:1-11. So if we go to the next slide. Okay. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. Before we go into the scripture, so let me just recap. With being the true sons of the house, this is my progressive revelation, and this is what I've shared with all of you as well. Firstly, that we are called to be sons, right? We are not mere believers or followers or disciples. Yes, all of that needs to be inside us, but the ultimate goal is God wants all of us to be sons, because the relationship between sons and father is very, very different compared to, say, master and servant or teacher and student. You agree? Right? In school, you have teachers. Your relationship with your teacher can be just so much. Yeah? And your relationship with your boss can be so much. Yeah? But if sons and fathers, that relation is very, very deep. Okay? And you know that there are different mindsets towards relationship between sons and fathers. So, that's the first thing. There is the progressive revelation for me. Then second thing is, then if you know that you are the sons of this house, you begin to, quote-unquote, own this house. If you see anything wrong with the house, there is rubbish here or something that's not fixed, you just do it without complaining. You don't say, if the mic is not set up, you don't say, I'm not on roster, so I don't put it. Right? You know what I mean? You go beyond, quote-unquote, roster. You know, in hospitality, if something spilled, you know, things like if curry spilled, you cannot leave it. You have to clean it straight after. You don't go, who's the head? Who's the head? Right? By the time you find the head will be already seep into the cuppa and, you know, disaster, right? If you see it, you do it quickly, okay? That's what I mean by ownership, okay? But not saying, this is my food or this is my mic, no one can use it. It's not that ownership. It's the ownership that when you see something is not right, you do it, okay? All right. Covenantal relationship, then, you know, because in the house needs to have relations, okay? Right? You cannot, if people are in the house who don't have a relationship, you call them visitors, right? Okay? We are not visitors. We are all here sons of the house. Amen? Yeah. Okay. And then, as working together, we must have a vision. And that vision, even though I say vision will give you purpose, direction, character, the main point of that message was the vision all must be one, so that we all can move as one. Okay? And there is a star in that covenantal relationship, because today I'll expand a bit more on that. And then the last one, which was the last message that I shared here, was about the godly nature. All right? We are all sons of God, so we have godly nature in us, but they are all given as seeds. But these seeds need to grow. And how do we grow it is hunger and thirst. Okay, and then I stop there. Okay, which is very mean because there is a continuation. All right, what do we hunger and thirst for? All right, so next one, Lisa. Okay, so this one is just a summary of what are the biblical principles in terms of sons. All right, Father God desires us and predestined us to be sons. Okay? The Son of God, Jesus, sacrificed his life not so that we are just quote-unquote believer or religious believer, but he wants us to be sons so that we can co-inherit with him. And the Holy Spirit was given to us so that it's a seal, it's a guarantee, and he tells us that we are sons, and he also leads us. Okay, whoever who is led by the Spirit are called sons of God. And then the world is also waiting for the appearance of sons, not religious people, not workers, quote-unquote, charity workers, okay? What we want is sons. And last one, when we are born again, we are born again into a new family with a new purpose, all right? New hope and everything, okay? So what do we hunger and thirst for next? Okay, so as I said, Matthew 5:1-11. So now, let's read together. These are what you call the Beatitudes, right? So the different Beatitudes will give us different results, all right? So I will read the attitude and you read the result, okay? All right, 1, 2, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. All right. Okay, so here we can see the different attitudes giving us different results. Now, poor in spirit, you all know that that means saying that I have not arrived yet. I need more. I need more. Meek, in Sunday school, we are doing chapter 4, which is talking about how Nebuchadnezzar became a beast because of his pride, right? And when we say pride, the focus of a prideful man is I, me, right? He said, is this not my kingdom which I built for my man? So, okay, all the, right? So we're teaching English to the kids as well, all right? But with Daniel, who is meek, what does he say? Even though the dream was given to him, he says, God gave me the dream so that he can tell you what is to come. So can you see the focus is very different? And then he develops thankfulness in terms of Daniel, talking about Daniel. He always thank God for everything, and he is repentive. Okay, when he knows that the children of Israel is the one that did wrong, he was the one that did the prayer first. Yeah? So same with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar failed. He became an animal. But what happened, what changed him is he repented and he began to thank and praise God. Then it recovered him. So we think that with meekness, you see that Daniel, you know, great as he, like, isn't it a great testimony of Daniel that it doesn't say he inherited the whole earth, but where he was in Babylon. He was basically the second in charge. Right, everything was given to him. All right, so we don't have to seek or desire to be top of the world. All we do is we seek to be humble. We see when humility comes with being thankful to God and admitting our mistakes. So I told the kids, you know, we always teach you, you know, say thank you and say sorry, but there is a purpose. There is a biblical purpose in there. All right, when you say thank you are saying that. So I asked them, what does thank you mean? They said, oh, gratefulness, good. So what else? They said, oh, when we are happy with what we get. I said, that's good. So when God gives us something that we desire, we will say thank you. But if it's not something we want, then what? We get offended, right? And we are like, don't want to hear, okay? And also that when you say thank you, it was because you were asking for it first. You were saying, I don't have, and now that I have it, then you say thank you. If not, if someone give you, say, a pen, all right, today, you say, oh, thank you, yeah, I got this pen because I don't have one. Then the next week he comes, he give you another pen, and you're like, okay, thank you, all right, two pens. And then next week he comes, he gives you another pen. Then you go, okay, this is getting a bit strange, right? And then he gives you 4, 5. What do you begin? Your thank you begin to be just what you call obligation thank you, because it's not something you want, right? And you're like, I don't need so much pen, right? Okay? So same with our spiritual life. Sometimes we think that when God gives us instruction or gives us a revelation or word, when we first time hear it, wow, on fire. Thank you, yes. Thank you, God. This is a good revelation. Then you being tell again, then slowly, you're like, oh, okay? That, do you see the analogy I'm trying to give here? Yeah? Okay? That's what it means by being poor in spirit and humility. Okay, we're going a bit sidetracked. All right, today's attitude we want to focus on is hunger and thirst for righteousness, okay? And you will be filled. Now, let's ask, what's hunger and thirst if you don't know? Okay? Some of you may not have your breakfast today, but that's hunger and thirst. And Pastor Machin this morning prayed that, Lord, let us have our spiritual breakfast. Amen. Let's lift ourselves up right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you desire us to be a righteous people, to be people who seek you first, Lord, to be humble people, Lord. Lord, right now, our hearts are ready to receive that spiritual breakfast that you're giving to us. Lord, we activate hunger and thirst for righteousness right now in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so everyone know what hunger and thirst mean, but turn it into spiritual, okay? But again, if you've just eaten this, like let's say 5 of this yesterday, you would probably hunger for this, okay? So where this is where the poor in spirit comes, is when you don't know what you or you don't have it, that's when you hunger for it more. Amen? All right. Next. Okay? So just a bit of definition. Righteousness. Righteousness means to be equitable in character or act, which means to be innocent or holy, which means it just means being just or being right. Okay? And we've gone through recently the life group lessons by John G. Lake, okay, or the sermons by John G. Lake, where it talks about the rightness of God, okay, rightness of God in our spirit, soul, and body in every areas of our life. That's what we want to be, right? We want to be right in every areas of our life, not just right today on Sunday, not just right when we have Bible study, okay, right in all areas of our life. And we must be right also not by man's opinion or what we think is right, but be right by God's standard. Amen? All right? And that's why when we hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, that's where when we go, oh, reading the Bible is so that we find out what is God's standard. Sometimes when we read, we find how to be righteous as well, okay? There is a process. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 21 and 25, give us a slightly different angle to this hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It says that, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. But woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. So there is a calling to all of us, is that we must remain hungry. We must remain hungry. That's the poor in spirit, basically. All right? Because if we are hungry now, then we will keep seeking for God and we will be satisfied. If we say that we are full now already, then we will suffer later. Okay? That's what basically it means. And in Matthew 6:33, where it gives a bit more expansion in terms of what we are hungering and thirsting for, it says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And if you read 33 verses before, all the verses before verse 33, it basically says what you eat, what you drink, what you clothe, or what the Gentiles seek. Okay, so we don't worry about all of that. All we want in our lives right now, the calling is to seek for God's kingdom and his righteousness. Amen? All right? Now, the Bible tells us quite simply, how do we gain righteousness? All right? Or how are we called righteous in God's sight? In Romans 4:20-25, it says, this is an example of Abraham. Okay? God counted Abraham as righteous because when he heard, he believed, and he did it. Okay? It sounds simple. It sounds simple, but it's something that we all have to work on. It's something that we all have to be aware of. All right? So if you see here the verses, okay? No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced. So fully convinced means what? Faith, right? Faith is being fully persuaded. And yet God was able to do what he had promised. And this is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Okay? So everyone say believe,
believe.
And do.
And do.
Okay? Can we all do that? Yes. Okay. Can we all do that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next one. All right. Now, this one I am taking a bit from what Grace shared last week. Okay. Where he talk about resurrection life. Resurrection life means what? To means something must be dead. Okay. And how do we die to to make it dead is we surrender it. All right? So here in Romans 6, I just give a summary there. In order to gain righteousness, we must firstly present ourselves, all right? And also obey, because firstly, in verse 13, it says, we present ourselves to God. Verse 13 also says, present our members as instruments of righteousness. Verse 16 says, present ourselves as slaves of obedience, which is the opposite, is not slaves of sin, which leads to righteousness. Verse 18 says, ourselves as slaves of righteousness. And verse 19 says, our members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. All right, so here we are talking about presenting our body right now. Okay, presenting our body, presenting every aspect of our life to God right now. And that's what the dying man, because when you pray for resurrection life, it means that you have discarded something old and you want something new to come alive. All right, I gave an example in life group. If say this microphone, right, it needs a new battery, what do? I take out the old battery, I put the new one, all right? If I try to put a new battery while the old one is in there, it won't work, right? The old one must be discarded. I asked the children, what other examples can you think of? Elizabeth said, oh, what about renewing library books? I said, good. What happens there is the old due date is taken away and you are given a new due date. And then, okay. So, because when we always talk about renewing my remit, it's quite what you call repetitive, right? We think What I mean is different people may understand it differently, what renewing of the mind means. Some people may think renewing minds means just readjusting. Now, if you have something that is already wrong and you try to adjust it, it may never become right, okay? So the renewing here refers to that whatever that is old that doesn't work, take it out and put the new thing in there, okay? So because sometimes we think, oh, maybe my thinking just a little bit slight, so let me just adjust it, come back. But sometimes, you know, like we always said, the example is the boat, right? It goes this way, so we have to come back. But what if you come back and you overshot it? And then you say, oh, adjust again. Then you adjust again, you overshot it. You keep adjusting. So what you do is you just remove the old direction and just go for the right direction. All right? Amen? And with our members, we read about the book called Open My Eyes, Lord, about seeing angels. It's very interesting that the author said this, you know, our bodies all are made, even though it's mortal, even though it will perish, but these are made to feel God, to experience God. For example, the eyes is made to see God, all right? The ears are made to hear God. The nose is made to smell the fragrance of God, all right? Even the hands, when we raise our hands, sometimes you feel tingly. It means that this body, as corruptible as it is, but it is made with a substance of God, and we can feel God. And another example was, even non-Christians sometimes hear the voice of Jesus, right? Which you hear testimonies of how people get converted because they met Jesus. Like Paul, right? Right? He saw Christ. So all these members of our bodies, it is created to feel God, to experience God. So let's present it today that all these we have one to experience God. Amen? All right? Okay. Next one. So today, in terms of being right with God or having God's standard in our life, today I just focus on the covenantal relationship. Okay? So the relationship with God first, then the relationship with our spiritual authority, and then the relationship with one another. Let's make it all right in God's eyes. Okay? So with the relationship with God, again, I'm going to take this from the life group lessons that we just learned and prepared by Grace. And also that, you know, firstly, when we are born again, which means when we accepted Christ in our lives and we go through all the baptisms, all right, our spirit is born again. We receive God's spirit and it becomes right with God. Yeah? Then the soul is your mind, will, emotion. Okay? This is where the renewing of the mind comes in. And we always proclaim resurrection life, so that we crucify what is old and we want new things to come alive in our life, okay? New things of God to come alive. And then the last one is the body, all right? While we are waiting for that coming of the Lord, we daily present our body, okay? And when we experience the resurrection of the dead, personally, we will have a glorious body, but as a church, the church will also be glorious, will be the bride of Christ. And again, this shows the hope that we have in our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a glorious body. We're going to be a glorious church. Evangel will be a glorious church. Amen? All right. And when with mind, you know that, with soul, there is mind, will, emotion. But the main thing there is mind, because whatever your mind thinks, it controls the emotion and your will. For example, if I tell you to think of something sad right now, or a sad movie, you will feel sad. Your emotion is affected by what you think. All right? And then it will make your will to go and get that tissue to wipe your tears away. Okay? Just an example. Do you see what I mean? Your mind determines your will and your emotion. If you see something scary, then you'll be fearful. Right? Like Siang, who came to Darling Now, he was scared of quote-unquote ghosts. Right? Because he's put a lot of image in his mind that was scary and fearful. And that made him to decide to not go into the room because he thinks that there is something evil in there, or something scary. All right? So, again, when you renew your mind, then it will affect your emotions and your will. Amen? All right. So, next one, Lisa. Thank you. All right? And this is the picture that Grace drew for us. All right? About the foundation stones going towards perfection. All right? So, if we start from the bottom here, we know that man is created spirit. Everyone say spirit.
Spirit.
Soul.
Soul.
Body. All right? And when we experience our salvation, which is repentance from dead works, faith towards God, and all the baptisms, all right, we are inviting the Holy Spirit to come inside us. Okay? So now this part is right with God. Amen? Then, through laying on of hands, so here, as we renew our mind, now, here, with laying on of hands, I want to give it on the other way. We sort of put aside the healing part. Here, when we renew our mind, sometimes we need help from somebody to renew our mind. Okay? When pastor invites for prayer and when pastor lay hands, that helps us to renew our mind. Okay? Because there is something when we come forward to receive from whoever it is that is sharing, either Pastor Joseph, Pastor Machin, what we are asking is, Lord, whatever they have or whatever they have experienced, now I want to change my mindset so that I can experience what they have. Yeah. So the laying of our hands here will lead us to being right in our soul area. Okay, so don't despise when there's an altar call. Don't despise that, because that laying off on the hands, because maybe we feel so familiar, you know, that we just, I've prayed already, no need, this week no need, or next week no need. Okay, let's not think that way, because every part of our areas of our life needs to be changed. Yeah, all right? So laying off on hands here is important, okay, for that process. Then, when we experience resurrection of the day, when Jesus comes and eternal judgment, then we'll put on that new body, glorious body, and it will be now all perfect, okay? And that's what we are pursuing towards. So now, when we look at our Christian life, Christian faith, don't just think that we are just here, all right? We are just, you know, whatever we are doing, yes, it's exciting, new change, you are involved more, that's good. But whatever stage you are at, there is always a lot more to seek for. Amen? Yeah. All right? Until you experience this, all right? I don't think anyone has here, okay? Which leads to perfection, we will always have to climb up, okay? Amen? Yeah. All right. So now, coming back to being true sons. So true sons, the focus, as I said, if you are sons in the house, the focus there is the relationship, okay? If you don't have relationship, you're just a visitor, quote unquote, okay? All right? But it doesn't matter in terms of distance, right? sons that are traveling out are still sons as long as they're still connected. Yeah? Sons that can be in the house but not connected, also that's not true sons. Yeah? All right? So you see the balance there. Amen. All right. Next one. Lisa? Yep. Okay, so let's come into the covenantal relationship that we have with each other. So first, let's focus on the spiritual authority or father of the house, or we call the set man of the house. All right, the example here that God spoke to me was like Abraham and the 318 armed men. It says that these men, 300 over men, were born and trained in Abraham's house. All right, so Abraham had authority over them. Yeah, when he gave the command, everyone followed. Okay, the command was to go and rescue Lot. Okay, so when the command was given, everyone followed that command. Nobody said, "Oh, I'm a bit tired. Let me stay at home. Let me guard the house or something." Okay, no, but everyone went. Okay, and another thing that I've read recently from a book by Bill Hammond is this thing called the Judah Spirit. Okay. It's very interesting how he explained what could have led Judas to betray Jesus. Okay, so when he gave, this is a paraphrase of what he said. Okay, when Judas first joined quote unquote Jesus' ministry, maybe what he thought was Jesus is going to restore the Israel of old. Okay, the old Israel. And then, because he's one of the 12, he's going to be given one area to govern. He's going to be a leader in something. He's going to be like a, what you call, like a governor. Okay, a position of importance. But then, slowly, slowly, he realizes Jesus is not talking about this earthly kingdom at all. All right? And in fact, Jesus said, "I'm going to have to go and die. Okay? I'm going to have to leave this place." So that's when he sort of panicked. He said, "Ayo, I follow him for 3 years, I'm not going to get anything out of it." Okay? So at least let me get, how much? How many silver? 30 pieces of silver. At least let me get that much. But when he get that, he realizes, okay? And then you know the end of the story. But you see here, Judas joined Jesus' ministry with a wrong intention, wrong mindset. Yeah? So for all of us that we are all here, let us not have this quote-unquote Judas spirit. Okay, where we are here, we want to gain something. Okay, but don't worry, in a way that we all will be blessed. We all will definitely be blessed. Pastor keeps saying that whatever prophetic word that's given to them, when we are connected, we are all receiving it as well. Yeah, so the blessing is not something we want to focus so much when we're talking about true sons of the house. Because if you are, as long as you stay in the house, you will have access to the fridge in the house, right? I do. Even though I stay in another house, I still have access to my parents' fridge. Yeah? Because why? I'm still connected. Yeah? Amen? Right? But do I worry all the time? Do I have to worry? Oh, let me do something for my parents so that I still can get access. No need. No need. All right? That's not the... No, but I do vacuum stuff. And like, I don't want any extremes here. It's like, "Oh, Dino said you don't have to do any housework because you can still have food." Okay, all right. Not that. All right. But you know what I mean. Okay. The focus here, as true sons, is it's not what you can gain from the house. Okay. It's how you can contribute to the house. Okay. And more importantly, when Ludwig talk about, you know, we are moving together as one destiny, there is even more. Emphasis, all right, to be, let's have a right relationship with one another and with our father of the house. Amen? All right, next one. And when we see here, just using the same example from that story, okay, our relationship with one another, then this will bring us together. And when they go out to fight that battle, they are fighting the same battle. They are fighting the same enemy, which means they're all doing the same work. All right, so for all of us, everyone plays a part in the kingdom. Amen? All right? Everyone plays a part in the house. And again, after moving in a new house, you begin to realize every little thing in the house does play a part. You know that little rubber thing behind your door? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah? If that is not there, what's going to happen? You open your door, bang, it's going to hurt the paint, right? It's going to scrape off the paint. But if you look at it by itself, it's just a piece of rubber. It looks like nothing, right? But it's so important to be there, okay? So everyone plays a part, no matter how small you think you are, all right? So the call now is then join in. Come on, everyone play a part in the kingdom. Everyone play a part in the house, amen? All right? And in this season that, you know, there's been declared that since July onwards, there is a change and we are doing things differently. Even this table has changed. It can go up and down. Can you see? Oh, okay. See? Everything has a change. In the natural, there's a change. Means in the spiritual, there is a change as well. So all these things that we are organizing and all that, you know, don't keep thinking this mindset is I'm still quote-unquote young Christians. Remember one thing I shared for my own life, you know, if I think when I first arrived, okay, let's say 10 years ago, I would never think that I would be here. If pastor said, do you not preach? If talking to the 10 years old ago Dino, right, I would never think like that, right? I would say, no, impossible, I cannot. Probably sure cannot. All right? Don't have that kind of mentality. All right? Don't keep. And then I say, wow, if I keep giving the excuse, I'm still a young Christian. I realize after 10 years in evangel, I'm still using that excuse. That's not young anymore, okay? After 10 years, I'm still quote unquote new, cannot. All right? This shouldn't limit us. Amen? It's the commitment and as you present your body, as you give of yourself more and more to God, when God sees that commitment that you make, then God will give more. Amen? Right? And then the last one is, then the next one is same goal, reward, and destiny. So their goal, their reward was to get Lot rescued. And Abraham again demonstrated this, that he said that whatever goal he had, he didn't want. He gave back to the kings who lost it. Yeah? And all of them didn't get the goal either. And Abraham only said, just pay a few of other people. That's all. Okay? But we don't want the goal. All we wanted was to rescue his brother. Okay? Which is his nephew. In the Bible, it just says brother. Okay? So, and then the last one is that we know all of them experienced the same miracle where Jesus appeared. Okay? As Melchizedek. All right? Who gave him the bread and the wine. All right, so we see here when all these people work together with Abraham, the 318, that unity in the spirit, we see this verse, you know, when two or three are gathered together, he is in the midst of them, comes to life. Okay, because we see Jesus appeared in this scenario. In Daniel, when we learn about the friends who were in the fire, Jesus again appeared as the angel of the Lord and they were rescued. So we see here, When there is unity in the spirit, whatever we work, whatever we do, Jesus is in the midst of that. And when that happens, all the miracles that happens will also follow. Amen? Amen. Okay, so this is what we want to experience. So, So to conclude, right? So everyone read with me. For sons of God to mature. Okay. Okay, wait. Let me. I read first, then you. Okay, for sons of God to mature, they must hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, be right by His standard. Okay, the rightness of God must be in every aspect of our lives, in our relationship with Him. And with one another. Okay, in this season of change, a time of great significance and opportunity, everyone will need to rise and play a part as one towards a common destiny. Amen? Okay, God bless you.
Hallelujah. Can we have the musicians to come?